This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Hello and welcome to Long Shots here on the VSiN Podcast Network. My name is Matt Brown. That is Kelly Bidlin. That is Wes Reynolds. We're going to talk the final golf tournament of the season. We're heading to the Tour Championship, and I got to be honest, guys, I didn't see Keegan Bradley coming. I don't know if anyone else saw Keegan Bradley coming. I didn't see Keegan Bradley coming, so that was interesting. But hey, good on him. Good on Keegan. That being said, Keegan ain't winning this week. So it is depending on if you're playing with the strokes or without the strokes here, guys, and we'll get more into that as to the different ways that you can actually bet this tournament. It is wonky. And with that, I have a really short card this week. I don't know how deep y'all decided to go. Wes, is it a normal card for you, or is it a little bit shorter, or what? A
little bit shorter, probably even too many with these, because I pretty much attacked the non-starting strokes market.
Yeah, yeah. That's Kelly, what did you do?
Well, I knew it was going to be a short card for me, so because I feel like it is every year. So there might actually be one or two more plays on here than I was expecting, to be honest.
All right. Well, so as we mentioned, there are a couple different ways to bet this podcast. Bet this tournament on the podcast. Yeah. And Wes, it is, so as we know, you accumulate points all season long. That is your starting strokes as you head into the final tournament, which obviously Scottie Scheffler will be leading. Xander Schauffele will be second, as you would imagine, considering they were two best players in the world for the entire season. But if you could just run people through real quick, as we're going to be kind of talking about two different markets as we get through this podcast.
Yeah, and we do have two different markets with starting strokes and without. So that's why when you see Scottie Scheffler at about, 115 or plus 115 or 120, that is to win the Tour Championship. That is not to be the low 72-hole scorer. So I'll start with the staggered starting scoring here. Scottie Scheffler, 10 under par. Xander Schauffele, 8 under. Hideki Matsuyama, 7 under. Keegan Bradley, 6 under. Ludwig Aubert, 5 under. And then you have five players, McIlroy, Morikawa, Clark, Burns, Cantlay, 4 under. At 3 under, M, Thigala, Lowry, Scott, Finau. At 2 under, you have Benyon, Hovland, Henley, Bhatia, McIntyre. At 1 under, Horschel, Fleetwood, Straka, Pavone, Pendriff. And then at even par, Kirk, Hoagie, Rye, Bezuidenhout, and Thomas. So, these guys obviously way back. Look, their goal has already been, okay, I made the top 30, so I'm basically in the majors, because you had to be in the top 50 to get in the signature events. So these guys, you don't see anybody really come back. I think the furthest back I want to say was Rory McIlroy when he, I believe, started at, and this was 2019, he started at 5 under, okay, and goes 13 under and wins it at 18 under. So that's the furthest back anybody has ever won this new staggered strokes format since 2019. Yeah.
Kelly, what are your personal kind of like cutoff? I mean, I know we'll probably talk more about the non-starting strokes market than we will the starting strokes market. But if somebody's out there listening to this and they do want to play the starting strokes market, what's your cutoff?
I played it, and the cutoff's really simple. Number one.
All right, I got
right
you.
Right after Scottie Scheffler is where I cut it off. No, I think realistically you could consider Xander. I mean, come on, there's no bigger defender of Keegan Bradley on the planet than Kelly Bidlin. But yeah, I think he's probably a long shot this week, more so than his placing and odds would indicate. And Matsuyama just withdrew last week with a back injury. Quote, it's not 100%, but he's going to play. Shocker, I know, because $550K for just teeing off going off the first tee. But you got all that. Then you're already talking down to 5 under where Ludwig's at. And I'm not saying it can happen. Obviously, we got to remember, first round last year, right? Morikawa went lights out. It was like after round one, you're like, okay, we got a whole new tournament all of a sudden. So I do want to keep that in mind. But yeah, I mean, realistically, I don't think I could. Maybe 4 under if you really want to. You're really high on Burns or Cantlay or Morikawa or Rory or someone this week. Maybe, but I'm kind of like Wes said. We've seen how this has played out since it started, and you just don't see many of these guys come from that far back, and that especially when 2024 Scottie Scheffler's sitting at the, and it's not just him, Scottie Scheffler and Xander. Xander's been that good this year too.
So Wes, that's kind of the deal. The problem here is you almost need 50th percentile performance from both Scotty and Xander to kind of get these other guys back in the picture. You're talking about guys that are just every week, week in, week out for the vast majority of the season, inside the top 10, if not inside the top five of every single tournament that they play. I mean, if we're talking firepower, Hideki's only three strokes back. How much was that back injury really a back injury, or how much did they crunch the numbers and realize that he was probably going to be third no matter what? And yeah. So it just didn't really matter whether he played last week or not. I mean, you look at, again, like I said, Kelly, you love Keegan. I don't know if the firepower is there. It almost like you get to Ludwig at five under, and even being five strokes back of Scotty, we have seen multiple very low rounds out of Ludwig. I just don't know if he can do it for four straight rounds. And so I don't know. I want to talk myself into somebody else, Wes, but it's almost like I think I'm trying to trick myself that Scotty or Xander isn't going to be one of the two that does it.
Yeah, I'll go briefly the last 5 year history here. Victor Hovland won this last year starting at eight under. Xander Schauffele matched him in the low 72 score. 2022, I actually should correct myself. Rory was four under and shot 17 under to be 21 under. But Rory had won this event already twice, so he's always been a horse for course here at Eastlake. Cantlay in 2021 was at 10 under. He was the leader going into the FedEx Cup final, as was Dustin Johnson in 2020. They both win. And then McIlroy started at 5 under in 2019. That was the first year they did this, because remember, this was after 2018 when Tiger won the Tour Championship. And then they're like, oh, why isn't he getting this other trophy? Because Justin Rose won the FedEx Cup points. So that's why they changed this, to get this all the same way. So, like, Hovland was 5-1 last year, McIlroy 12-1, Cantlay 4-1, DJ 2-1, McIlroy 9-1 in 2019. So that's why you really can't look all that far down the board. I know the temptation is to want to, but there really is a line of demarcation here, to go. You can only go so far.
I kind of feel like the odds should be longer too. I mean, if you're talking about guys like Morikawa is 30-1, like starting where he's at, like that is quite a deficit to make up. Like, I mean, Sam Burns 40-1, Patrick Cantlay 40-1. I don't know. I just feel like those guys should be a little bit longer than that.
Yeah. It's like I said, you would have to get two poor outings out of the two most consistent and best golfers there is in the world. And I just don't know how realistic that is, that both Scotty and Xander are both going to crap out in the same tournament. I mean, the only one I'm at least remotely interested in, like I said, I mean, it seems like we want to keep betting Ludwig and like, he just can't ever get there. But like, if we're talking about a guy that can go out and shoot multiple rounds of like 6-7 under, he has that firepower. I just don't know of anybody else that really has that in the bag to be able to go out and, if Scotty and Xander play, let's just say mediocre, right? And like, they're not shooting the 6 and 7 unders, they're shooting the 2 and 3 unders. You got to understand, with the lead, that with the strokes that they have, it's like, that's still going to be enough to win, right? So you literally have to have a guy play basically at his like 99th percentile for four rounds in a row and have that happen. So I don't know. It's tough to talk myself into somebody other than those two guys.
Yeah. I'm actually surprised you didn't bring up your boy Burns. Cause like, I mean, we've seen him go super low, and the way that putter's on fire right now, man, well, if he can just not spray it off the tee.
Do you think that I don't have a ticket on him this week? Of course. Okay. I mean, come on, it's not in this market. It's in the without. And well, you know, there's spoiler alert, you know, with all of that. But yeah, I mean, so you did, I'll just admit, I don't have anything in the account in the Wiz starting strokes. Wes, do you?
No.
Yeah. Okay, Kelly. So you go ahead. You did go ahead and bet Scotty, and that's where you're at right now.
Yeah. I bet Scotty. Guys, I bet it on the opener, and then I bet it again. I was shocked when I saw opening odds that anybody was hanging plus money on Scotty. I thought he was going to be closer to even money, even my, you know, odds on. So I hit plus 110 when it opened. I hit plus 135. That's up at Circa right now. I hit that again. So yeah, I'm in on Scheffler, pretty decent sized position, but more than I thought it was going to be. I thought those odds were a little off in the starting strokes with the starting strokes market. I did make finishing position bets, a couple of there too. I don't know if you want me to hit those now or if you want to wait till later.
Yeah, we'll hit those in just a bit. There are the two different markets, guys. So if you go, you'll click, you'll see, and it'll say excluding starting strokes. When you go over there, Xander and Scotty are actually the co-favorites. So no longer is Scotty the actual favorite here, at least if you look at DraftKings, 4-1 for both of those guys over there. Rory McIlroy, 10-1. Victor's 14. Ludwig is 16. Colin Morikawa is at 16. Sam Burns is at 18. Wyndham Clark is at 20. As is Tony Finau, Tommy Fleetwood, Patrick Cantlay, and Hideki Matsuyama. Everybody else 22 or longer in this one. But Wes, why don't you give us a little bit about Eastlake?
Yeah, and look, that's another wrinkle in this event that makes it even more difficult to handicap is the fact that this is pretty much a brand new course now.
Yeah.
At Eastlake. It's a Donald Ross design. Obviously, they've hosted this since 2004, just outside of downtown Atlanta. But Andrew Green, who's the name of the new architect or renovator, as it were, he wants this championship concluded last year, like, it stopped. There was no golf. Not a shot has been struck here because they redid everything. They removed a bunch of trees, replaced the entire turf tee through green. Every green has been redesigned. It's about 150 yards longer now. 7490 is the stock yardage this week. Par 71. This has always been a par 70 because the 14th is now a par 5. Tiffy Eagle Bermuda, Mini Verde Verde was the Bermuda strain last year, so it is different, even though it's still Bermuda. They sat the greens lower, too. A lot of these greens used to be elevated, those typical Donald Ross kind of runoff greens, but they made them lower, and they also expanded them about 6,200 feet of average, refurbished the bunkers and the greens, did switch to a different strain of Zoysia. Now, Zoysia fairways, these are going to be a little bit firmer instead of like the bouncy Zoysia that you see in Memphis at TPC Southwind. So, look, a lot of the players complained that this layout was boring. So they're going to try to make it not boring because they changed it. I put a video in the article that's up in VSiN.com that kind of chronicles the restoration and the fact that they got this done, you know, essentially in like 10 months, it was very surprising that they were able to do that. But yeah, this is a totally different course. There probably is some carryover in terms of maybe some of the stats that you looked at before are probably still going to apply, but you don't want to be necessarily married to that previous data.
Yeah, Kelly, for me, just kind of getting, you know, full transparency here, I am really just kind of more riding who's got the hot hand heading into this thing and just kind of going from there. We're not knowing much about how this is going to play comparatively and all of that. I want a dude who's coming in firing at the pins and just going to town on this deal. And so that's how I kind of went about it this week. What was your approach whenever you were trying to fill out your card?
Yeah. I mean, I ran models and punched in numbers, but I think Wes, what you kind of hit on at the end there is the most important thing to me. It's just, yes, there's changes. Yes, we're hearing some of these golfers talk about being surprised at how different it looks, but I don't think that we should expect anything off the tee or on approach to really be that big of a difference. It's always been one of the most driver dominant courses that on tour every single year. Accuracy at an absolute premium here, but it's also long and you're going to need distance. I don't really expect that to change. And when you're handicapping this tournament, I think that doesn't really change. Those were already the kind of most important things here at Eastlake every year. And then approach, like we talk about all the time, is important. You look at where these guys have scored in the past on this course. Okay, you can score on the par fives, right? All they did is add another par five. So I think emphasizing your par five scoring was something that I looked at. I looked at a fair amount this week. Obviously, it was a basic model, but I did kind of run all the numbers and wanted to see where kind of guys were checking out. But like you said, man, I think it's I think you kind of want someone that is coming in with some momentum that is playing pretty well. But you know, I mean, Keegan came out of nowhere last week too. It's just I kind of feel like these playoffs, man, they really have somehow turned into a different animal like every year. And there's kind of one or two guys that plays pretty well throughout all three or a couple weeks or all 3 weeks that kind of shock me. And that is I kind of wish I just went with my gut and favorite guys through these playoffs so far, because Decky I would have just bet because I bet him so many times without winning and laid off him. And Keegan, if I just bet my boy last week, would have come home with a big score. So, yeah, these playoffs are definitely screwing with my head a little bit. That's for sure.
Yeah, you No one. I scream all the time. No one's bet Sam Burns more than me, or whatever. Like, no one's bet Keegan more than you in this entire industry. Like you, Keegan's your guy.
He is. Wasn't even a thought last week. Didn't even think about it.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, he didn't register for me.
Got in last on the number, 50th in the BMW, and now he's fourth, and probably going to make that President's Cup team. Very impressive performance from Keegan Bradley. And just in a side note before we continue, I actually like that course at Castle Pines, even though I had nobody in the mix.
Yeah.
I was actually entertained by the event. I thought it was a fair course, you know, not too difficult, but not too easy either. Yep. And, you know, I like that course. I like when the PGA Tour goes to new things and not, or new places and not, you know, the same old courses. And look, we're not getting the same old course necessarily this week. We shall see how it plays out.
Yeah, I liked it too. And I thought it presented well on television. I thought it looked great on television. I liked that it was, you know, there was at least a little bit of strategy as to how to go about like playing the course and all that. I was a fan.
Yeah, me too. I kind of go back to what I said last week on the pod. It's just like, come on, like how cool was that to see like you're playing in the mountains in Colorado and these guys like one of the biggest concerns from the players talking before the tournament was like these elevation changes and the fact that they'd have to, you know, make a putt and then literally have to walk through the woods and upstairs like to the next tee box. Like that's a factor that we don't really have to think about every week on the PGA Tour that affects players. And I, you know, for bettors, I think we always like being able to lean on some kind of course history, but no, man, like we got enough golf events in Texas, California, and Florida. It's nice to see other parts of the country in gorgeous areas like that. It looked great on TV, I thought.
As far as modeling for me, guys, I made a very, very rudimentary model this week. I literally only put in approach, good drives, scrambling, and a little bit of tee to green just to see who's kind of like rocking and rolling right now with all that. I ran one version of the model where I did add in just birdie or better and did that really short term to kind of see who's just scoring right now. And that might get me to where I'm looking for some other type of bets and all of this, but super, super basic model for me this week. Like I said, this is kind of one of those weird deals where I might be going a little bit more with my gut than what the numbers say. Wes, did you do an in-depth model or was yours pretty basic? How'd you go about it?
Yeah, relatively basic. I did total driving. I did some good drive percentage as well. For the approach, just general approach, I did do a prox bucket of 200 plus. That was the only one I did because you are going to get, especially with the lengthier course, you usually got about a third of the shots from 200 out or more. So I did do that. I did strokes gained putting on Bermuda. You know, this is a brand new Bermuda, because you haven't had these greens soften up a little bit because you haven't had any shots. Like I was mentioning with the renovation, these greens are going to be like rock hard. So, you know, you're going to have to make some putts here and probably from a long way. We'll see how firm that they go ahead and roll. And then I did general score and I did birdie or better and bogey avoidance. So that's pretty much all I did this week.
Kelly, what about you?
A lot of what you guys brought up, but it dialed back a bit for me this week. But I did, you know, off the tee, looked at a lot of stuff off the tee. I mean, strokes gained off the tee, good drives, you know, total driving, driving distance kind of factored all that stuff in. I do think that's going to be important this week. Wes hit on it. I mean, strokes gained approach, proximity 200 plus, did look at those areas. Par five scoring, one of those rare tournaments where because of the added par five, I did par fives and par fours where I wanted to look at that, just with the so many par fours that you're going to have to play and try to avoid bogeys on. I do think those guys that are crisp on those approach shots from those kind of distances are good to look at. A little bit of around the green and scrambling and bogey avoidance, but that's pretty much it.
For me, as far as strategy going into this,
I didn't do anything with putting, I guess. I should say that. I went team no putt this week, kind of like you said, Wes. I don't really know what to expect from these greens. Putting hasn't been the greatest indicator, here in the past anyways. So I went team no putt this week.
Yeah. So as far as strategy goes, guys, so the winner of this event will win $25 million. Second place is $12.5 million. It ticks down from there, 7.4, 6 flat. 3.5, 2.75, 2.25, 2 million, 1.75. And then a couple of places in 11 and 12th that is just a little bit over a million. 13th, a little under a million. 14th is 925. 15th is 885, which comparatively to the 550 you get if you're dead last in all of this, for some of these guys, isn't all that much money. And I know that's crazy to say, but we are talking about $300,000 for Justin Thomas, which is completely different than $300,000 for, let's say, I don't know, Taylor Pendrith or something or whatever, you know, like something like that. Yeah. So like there is, I think, some strategy that goes into how you want to play some of these guys, because I think JT either like goes super low or is by far dead last in this tournament. Like I think, cause there's like nothing for him to like him getting from 550 to 670 and just climbing 10 spots. Like that's like nothing for him from a monetary standpoint. Right. And so like, I see him going nuts in this thing and either it working and him going really low and having a really good week, or him being like dead last by like several strokes. Like I can see if it goes sideways from there. And like, and then I think you start to get to some of these other ones, you know, Kelly, as you look at this leaderboard and where people are starting, you know, you've got some guys that have made a ton of money on this year. And so, you know, the difference between, as we just said, 10th place being 1.75 or getting up to fifth place, which is 7 million, you know, there, I expect that from a live betting opportunity heading into Sunday, when you might be able to figure out some of these guys' monetary kind of incentives in all of this, I actually held back a little bit of bullets here for Sunday to kind of like do the math on Saturday night and then come in and be like, oh, this guy's just going to go nuts, because the difference between 1.75 and 885 to him, which, you know, falls 5-6, it's not that big of a deal, but the difference between 1.75 and 7 million is a lot to anybody, right? And so I think you might be able to pick out these people's strategy come Sunday.
Yeah, that's an area we've talked about before. I completely agree. I think that's something you can definitely do, because I think the Justin Thomas example is great on one end, but yeah, you go to the other end, and if we're talking about guys like if Benny On are in the mix and Akshay Bhatia and Robert McIntyre, like that's a huge amount of money compared to what they have made on the PGA Tour. Matthew Pavone, like these guys are. I mean, if they're in that striking distance, I mean, this is going to be the most serious round of golf they've ever played in their lives, pretty much.
And for the Americans too, by the way. And I guess I don't know if there's any international players that would qualify for this, but there are President's Cup implications as well for some of these guys, because they've taken the first six already for Team USA. So those six, I believe, are Colin Morikawa, Wyndham Clark, Scotty Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, why am I blanking on the last, Sahith Theegala, also made it, and I believe Patrick Cantlay. So you have those guys like Finau, who I think is going to be on, but Henley, Chris Kirk, like a lot of these guys, the Brian Harman, Billy Horschel, a lot of these guys, I don't even know if Harman made it. So
I was going to say, he's not in there, is he?
Yeah, he's not. Check that. I'm just looking over the field. But Horschel, Chris Kirk, Justin Thomas, Russell Henley, Akshay, Finau, like it's good. It's going to matter to those guys. And perhaps on the international team, I think Bez might be one of those ones that's in contention too. So a little bit of extra motivation here.
Yeah, your current U.S. standings for President Cups: Scheffler, Schauffele, in order. Scheffler, Schauffele, Morikawa, Clark, Cantlay, Theegala, and then it's seven: Sam Burns, Tony Finau,
another Russell, one, yeah,
Henley, Keegan, Harman, Homa, Chris Kirk, Bhatia, Eric Cole. That gets you down to 15. Billy Horschel's there at 17. Hoagie 18. JT 19.
My only, I will say this, take a little bit of sports talk radio here before we get back to our bets, but like, I don't know if anyone complained if they won and they won 20 million instead of 25 million. And then you could take $5 million and spread it out into the prize pool a little bit more to where you could make finishing even in 20th worth $1 million in all that. So like, I don't know. It just, to me, it's like 20 million, 20 million for first is like still a good reward for winning the tour championship. And like, but if you took $5 million and you sprinkled it through the rest of this, it's like, you know, then to me, like the fact that you can show up, you're one of the top 30 golfers in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like 500, your reward is 550K. It's like, Come on, man. What are we doing?
Still 550K, though. That's why that could be a reason why Hideki Matsuyama is even teeing it up, or maybe even Bobby Mack this week. But no, I agree with you, because I agree with you mainly, though, just because of who we've seen win in the past, right? I mean, you're usually talking about the elite of the elite. And when we look at it this year and you see Scheffler and Xander right at the top, it's like, okay, yeah. $5 million does not mean nearly as much to them.
Kelly, this is a 2003 like Poker Stars payout, right?
Yeah.
Here, is what this is. And like they pay it, they made it way too top heavy, and like they didn't spread it enough through like the rest of the deal or whatever. It's like you're sitting here and you're just like, dude, it doesn't have to be that top. Like $20 million for first is like a lot of money. But if you had $5 more million to spread through the prize pool, yeah, no one's going to complain. I promise you.
Scheffler at this point is like freaking Happy Gilmore, like with the big checks in there. It's like, well, all right, just throw it in the trunk. Like, whatever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's funny. But anyway, as we get past all of that, let's go ahead and start getting to what made the betting card this week. Wes, we'll kick things off with you, since we already stole one of Kelly's picks earlier.
Yeah, and I have three that were the non-starting strokes market, and that's pretty much what I did last year. Now, keep in mind, this happened to me last year. This could be a chop as well, because I had Xander Schauffele 12-1, and he actually was the low 72 scorer with Hovland, so I ended up getting a chop out of that.
God, I kind of forgot about that part.
Keep that
in mind this week.
Yeah, that can happen. It's happened twice since they went to this format. 2021, it was actually Kevin Na at 70-1 and John Rahm at 7-1 were the low 72 hole scores, but Cantlay ended up winning the event with the minus 10 starting strokes, as he was the FedEx Cup leader. So the three I went with Victor Hovland at 16-1. Who won here last year, actually won the Tour Championship, mm-hmm, and the FedEx Cup here, but has not won since, largely because even though he was playing like one of and maybe the best player in the world, at least at that time, at the end of the season for the FedEx Cup, he decided to change a swing and do a bunch of different things and go to a bunch of different people that he didn't need to deal with that. Iron play has been a lot better of late. Of course, he was right in the mix at the FedEx or the FedEx St. Jude in Memphis. I think he's close to figuring it out. I would expect that he might either win this week or he wins like a DP World Tour event this fall. But I think he's very close to winning. And then I don't know if it's going to be a pod play. It'll be 2/3 of a pod play. I also played Sam Burns, low 72 hole scorer at 20-1. Burns, he has had a weird season.
Yes.
He started 2024 like a house of fire. He had 4 top tens on the West Coast swing. And then he kind of sucked in the spring, missed the cut at the Masters, missed the cut at the PGA, playing his best golf of the season over the last 2 weeks. Was fifth in Memphis, was T2 last week at the BMW, shot that low. What was it, 64 or 63 that he shot on Sunday? I can't remember, but he came back from the back and actually was the leader in the clubhouse for a while. Fourth here at East Lake last year. So, you know, we'll see how this course does change, if it's really going to change all that much from last year. I continue to think that guys that have played well here before are probably going to continue to play well, but we shall see. And then my third one, same price, 20-1, Tommy Fleetwood, whereas I think Burns is more of a recent form play. I think Fleetwood should be a real course fit here, because if you look at it, the fairways have narrowed a little bit. They're about 28 yards wide on average, so he is dead accurate off the tee, top 5 in driving accuracy on the tour. And I think that's going to be more of a premium with these narrower fairways if he's just a little bit sharper with the irons. Good recent form in his own right. He won Olympic silver in Paris, T5 at the BMW last weekend. So wouldn't it just be like Tommy Fleetwood to like be the low 72 hole scorer but not win a tournament? Is he still trying to win that first tournament here in the United States that he's been trying to for several years now? So I could totally see that happening. So Hovland, Burns, Fleetwood for me, and that's it.
Well, there's 2/3, because my other is Fleetwood, and it's
how
just,
do I have more bets today? This has got to be the first tournament all year where I have the most bets all three.
I don't know how many placement markets, if any, I'm going to do this week.
Yeah, I did Burns and Fleetwood pre-tournament in the non-starting strokes market, mainly
Fleets.
For everything.
We got Tommy Fleets. We got Tommy Fleets.
You have Fleetwood? Oh, okay. All right. But I wanted to play, you know, the hot hands, and like those two guys are about as hot as anybody there is out there right now. So I played those without starting strokes market, And then I just took a little bit of a stab on Xander in the with starting strokes market. He is only two strokes back. And, you know, the plus 230, 240, 250 that you see out there, I think is fair with all of that. I mean, he is definitely yeah. number two, but it's like it's one and two and then a giant, giant like gap to number three as far as like who has been the best in the world this year. And so, you know, Xander being able to make up a two stroke deficit wouldn't shock me, wouldn't like come out of nowhere to me. And so I thought that number was pretty fair on him. But those are only three pre-tournament bets I have in there. Like I said, I am holding some bullets back for narrative plays on Sunday, and I'm going to play those narrative plays on Sunday. And I think there's more to it, you know, than me just trying to be like, haha, these are some things. But I mean, like, you know, there's a big difference in money. I mean, like that is like, I don't care how rich these guys are, but like the difference between 1.7 and 7 million and all you're doing is moving five spots is it's a lot. And so like I can see some people getting uber aggressive if they're kind of sitting there in that like 9-10-ish range trying to get up into that top four or five. So
yeah,
I'm at this week. Going to be firing there on Sunday.
I don't know why I'm saying this kind of with a cocky attitude in my voice, Matt, but I feel like me and you have done that kind of pretty consistently the past few years with this tournament, and it's kind of held back some of those. And I don't have the results in front of me right now, so I don't actually know how well we did, but I think it makes a lot of sense. And yes, I'll be holding back a couple bullets for that situation as well. All right, so where I went, I'm just in disbelief right now that I have more bets than these two guys. It has to be the first time all season long. All right, so let's go Scottie Scheffler. We're just going to win this outright, and then Kelly Tommy Bidlin. Fleetwood, low 72 guy. That would be perfect. All right, so I have Scheffler with the starting strokes. I just thought I think plus 110. Anything better than that, I think is juicy. I get this, Xander. Look, those two guys have been that good. I can't knock you for that bet. I have those outrights. Okay, and then I have finishing position bets with the starting strokes. I played Patrick Cantlay top five at plus 255. This is also another one of be very, very careful when you're shopping around this week. I mean, it's going to be pretty obvious right away, but make sure you know if you're betting the dead heat rules or if Ty's pay in full, because this is the single tournament where you will see the greatest difference in those because of how few guys are in the field. So make sure you know what you're doing. All the ones I bet Ty's do pay in full here. So I bet top five on Cantlay plus 255. I bet a no price. Now, this is not available to most people. This is, you know, I feel bad bringing it up, but it is available at Circa. They post yes, no's on their finishing positions. I bet a no price on Hideki Matsuyama at minus 130 to not finish top five. If there's any lingering back injury, you know, that makes me feel better. Mm-hmm. If he withdraws after teeing it up, that's a winner right away. So that's one I do like. I rarely ever play those. The other one with Hideki, and the only reason I'm concerned about Sammy Burns, because I think I'd be there with you guys otherwise, is just guys like those we've seen, especially this season, they can spray it off the tee sometimes. And I think if you're doing that this week, you're in a lot of trouble right away. So that's my only concern with both of those. We're only concerned really with Sam Burns. So my concern was Hideki Matsuyama along with other things. So I played a no price on him, and then I played Tommy Fleetwood top 10 at plus 160 for the event. And then in the 72-hole winner market, I did play 20-1 on Fleetwood and Cantlay. So I did dial in on those guys. Well, I think Cantlay in much better form. I feel like, Wes, you've been betting him more frequently than me or Matt, but definitely in better form here recently. This is also just a little bit, yes, the course is different, but man, the past 3 years, he's absolutely torn up East Lake. I mean, it is, when you're looking at 72 holes, he's not went 9-under, 8-under, 11-under the last 3 years. And yeah, who knows what these changes are going to do, but I still just think off the tee approach stuff is going to matter the most. And guy that's in good form, yeah, I'll take a stab at him this week. He's a guy that I bet way too much in years past. I feel like I barely bet him at all this year. This actually might be the first time. I don't even remember betting him earlier this year. So Cantlay Fleetwood 20-1 in the 72-hole winner market. And that's everything I got. Not that I have a whole lot more than Matt West, but I'm still a little shocked. Well, I'll see what Wes's final card is come Wednesday night. Then we'll see.
I don't. It does seem like it's the first time.
I know you're like, yeah, I know you're going to put some in on Wednesday for the placements. And look, I've got to look and see. I mean, it may be like one or two, but it's not going to be the usual where I might have like 7 to 10 placement bets because obviously, you know, I like to live in that top 20, top 30 zone.
Well, what are your guys
can't
overall
really do
thoughts?
That. Can't really do that. 30 totally guys in the field.
Because I don't like none really. Yeah, none really jumped out to me. Obviously, I think most of the books are doing is they're kind of just pairing guys that are in the same spot of where their starting strokes are at. None of them really jumped out to me anyways because I wasn't really playing any of those guys that was further down and don't have really much interest in it. But I don't think any books are going to be throwing wildly different matchups at you, but it's just another reminder of make sure you know what you're betting. With this tournament, make sure you
know. Yeah. Check maybe DK or maybe FanDuel might do the non-starting stroke matchups or might have a separate, but we'll only have like a few because you're right, Kelly, and that's a good observation that you make here because if you're looking at any of the odd screens, whether you have a paid screen or a free screen that has multiple books listed, like you'll see Scottie Scheffler -450 over Hideki Matsuyama. Mm-hmm. Well, that's including the fact that he starts 3 shots ahead of him for the tournament, and that's tough to make up on the best player in the world. So that's why all these matchups that I'm seeing pretty much are with the starting strokes. So, you know, maybe matchups, maybe a way to play him actually this week is go round by round.
Yeah, I think this is actually a better live betting event than you know, most people usually talk about it. Because, Wes, I think, you go in second, third, fourth round matchups, good way to play those. Me either, really. Yeah, I just kind of looked at
it. Yeah, I didn't even really consider head-to-heads, Kelly, to be honest with you. Different motivations, different whatever, and I don't know what that's going to look like come Sunday. And so with that, I honestly didn't even consider them this week. First time that I haven't done that really all season. Guys, it has been an awesome season here. On the pod, obviously we made some good picks, we made some bad picks, we made some picks in between, but I'll tell you what, it was another good year, another profitable year for us here, and I feel grateful to be able to sit here and talk to you two guys about golf each and every week here on this podcast.
Nah, man, it's been fun, man. We get through some tough stretches when Scottie Scheffler decides to win every single week and we're not betting him every single week. But, you know, we did hit quite a few, had a very good summer, especially on this pod.
I mean, I think for everybody that's been listening, especially the people been listening the past few years now, it's look, man, it's been a journey. And it's definitely been adapting our handicapping processes here over, for me at least, heavily over the past 2 seasons. And that is... you know, something I'm still working through. I think the lived affections have somehow affected me more than I thought it would. And then it's, you know, I think Scheffler this year was a perfect example, right? Is it Scheffler's that good, or we're a little bit more watered down at the top? Is it, you know, a little bit of both? I don't know. And I think it's something we're still, you know, just like every sport that you're betting, I think you need to be aware of things that you need to get a better hold on and try to continue to adapt and get better at what you're doing.
Yeah, hopefully somewhere along the way you picked up something that made you a better golf handicapper. Hopefully that is something that we really try to get out of here. You know, every time that we get done with the pod, that there's something maybe you picked up. And hey, maybe it's something you picked up and you're like, that guy's an idiot and I'm going to do the opposite of what he said. But that's still picking up something. So you think that you got me, but no, you didn't get me. You think I'm an idiot, go the opposite direction. Hey, you still picked up something, so I feel good about it. Doesn't matter. Just make them feel one way or the other, Wes.
Yeah, absolutely. As long as people are cashing tickets, which
is what
I'm told
is
what it's all
about. Just go bet their top 5 price on Hideki Matsuyama. That one's available to everybody. I bet the no. You can go, everybody can go bet the yes.
Guys, this podcast absolutely free, so we do appreciate it. Even though we were going on break with the season ending, if you want to go ahead and hit that subscribe button when it does come back, in whatever iteration that it is, you guys will be able to get whatever hits your podcast feed. So do appreciate all of that as well. Each one of your subscriptions, each one of your ratings and reviews, we do appreciate those here on Long Shots. For Kelly, for Wes, I'm Matt. Good luck on all your tour championship bets.